UNESCO.
I have no fucking clue.
We're going from website. Didn't we have some more stuff to go from the Wikipedia?
I'm sure there's plenty more UNESCO stuff to do, but...
Yeah.
I'm really out of it at the moment. Oh, and also my dinner's in the oven, so at some point I'm going to... 27 minutes time, I'm going to get up.
Yeah. We are nearly live. We are live. We are live. Just waiting for the titles to finish.
Okay.
Are we live?
And welcome to another 40 in words. And yes, we are live. Have you guys looked at any of the leak stuff? I haven't looked at any of it. You know, the Pentagon guy.
Pentagon leaker. Why? How many UNESCO sites are in there?
All no, that's UFO, isn't it?
UFOs.
Yeah, it's really real this time.
Hillary's
going to Hillary's going to release the documents like she was going to when she won.
Speaking of UFOs, they've not been in the news this week.
They have been in the news this week because there was a Pentagon leak.
No, they've not been in the news because New York Times has decided that it's not newsworthy. They'd rather talk about trans rights, the Ukraine. And how being punctual is white supremacy.
We need... that's because UFOs aren't current thing yet.
I guess not.
When they become current thing, they can get into the public consciousness.
I mean, I'm not sure if we've done Project Blue Book or not, but at some point we'll need to just say, look, I'm a bit cynical whenever they say... UFOs, guys, and we need one more government because
I think it's more like Matt Walsh said. Like the UFOs could literally land on the White House lawn, get out, stroll around, wave at everybody, and then fuck off, and they'd trend for like a day and a half.
That'd be it.
Gone forever. Like no one, everyone would forget.
Back to working at McDonald's. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No meaning would come for it, right? Yeah, it's just another day, you know. What would this piece of esoteric knowledge benefit me in my daily life? And then
speaking of conspiracy theories, have you heard about Elliot Page,
the Supreme Gentleman?
Yeah. Elliot Page was going to Subway late one night. And was attacked by a mysterious man. This is MAGA country, etc., etc. Like literally tried to did the Jussie Smollett remake.
Oh no! What's he up to these days? Did he get an acting role in Lord of Them Rings?
No, I think he got a prison sentence, didn't he?
Oh jeez!
That's racist. You can't breathe.
Oh man. So
UNESCO, shall we start with their website?
Where were we last time? Does anyone remember?
All
I remember is Palestinians getting bombed by Israel, and that was the last
time. No, that was the UNESCO controversies, weren't it?
Oh, that was it, yeah. That was.
I seem to remember not knowing what Julian Huxley looks like, but I know Adonis Huxley was like. Saying the UN needs to provide him with high prescription strength glasses.
I was listening
glasses.
To a podcast the other day. Someone said that he does very good books on. Oh God, what was it? Furniture. I was listening to a bit of Michael Savage the other day. Michael Savage did a pretty good rundown on Uncle George Soros. Yeah, he did a pretty good rundown on him. But part of it, he mentioned Huxley, and he said Huxley did a very good book on furniture. Apparently.
Oh. What? Tannic Acid and You, A Guide to Furniture Restoration.
Yeah, apparently he did.
Wait, Huxley, is that the Satanist guy?
What?
No, Huxley is Brave New World guy.
Huxley, Darwin, and Galton—all those families were doing a eugenics program for about two centuries. I think the Wedgwoods as well; they're related to them.
What, the furniture people?
They decided to crossbreed with one another, and Adolus Huxley was the end result of the crossbreeding program.
Were they pleased or disappointed?
So the Kwisatz Haderach fucking 1800s.
Yeah, but it was kind of like a failed offshoot. I think he's more like a Count Hasimir Fenring than a Paul Atreides. I think he was also infertile as well.
Oh, he didn't get worms and then like die or something. That would be irony.
Yeah.
Just become a worm.
Right, let's get into some more UNESCO. Let's explore. Oh, blimey! Let's play a little game. We'll see if we can wake you two up. So what we'll do is I'll pick a headline, then we'll pick a subject. So governance, accountability. Right, so do you want governance, accountability, networks, or engage?
Ooh, networks.
Networks. Right, networks. Do you want field offices? It's like one of them Jumbo Dose paper things you used to play when you was a kid.
Is it a choose your own adventure?
What was
that one we were playing last time?
Page 87.
Do you want field offices, NGOs and foundations, associated schools, Univoc, UNITWIN, or UNESCO Goodwill Ambassadors?
Oh, the Goodwill Ambassador, yes.
Should we look at the UNESCO Goodwill Ambassadors? Well, these are just the saps that don't really know what's going on, aren't they? Yeah. They just get some airhead actor or something. What's this one? So, Goodwill Ambassadors for the International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. We'll get that racism. Like, is it me or was there a whole lot less racism in the 90s than there is now?
Yeah, weird that.
Michael Jackson was popular in the 90s.
Yeah. Michael Jackson. What's his name? The black comedian. Richard Pryor. Eddie Murphy.
That's the
Eddie
one,
Murphy.
Yeah.
All huge actors in the 90s. This ain't that interesting, actually.
Will Smith did a show.
Is it gaslighting? Is this just gaslighting? Like they're saying, oh, you know.
It's
we've been gaslit here. Like,
is it from 1984, where war is peace, freedom is slavery, and all that kind of stuff?
This is gaslighting.
You're being told
it's more racist now than it was before, or something. Yeah. You know, racism's still a problem. When I don't know, I don't think racism's really that been much of a problem since the 50s, has it? Maybe. We're talking hardcore, actual discrimination, maybe in 70s, Western countries.
70s was like peak. I think the 70s was probably like peak racism.
Right, yeah, but you're still being told, well, even now when, you know, even now still too racist. Okay.
Yeah.
It's all right.
But the thing is, though, if you're racist, homophobic, bigot, you know, the chances are you've probably said something about the coof, isn't it? It's never necessarily you've said anything about racism or homophobia.
Isn't it a bit like, and I don't want to sound like one of those atheism Reddit guys, but
atheism plus.
You know, back in the day, the church was powerful. You'd say something mildly critical of the church and be like, "Oh, you're a heretic."
Yeah.
Well, no, it's something mildly critical of global warming or homosexuality or what have you.
It's the modern heresy, isn't it?
You're a bigot.
Racist, homophobic, bigot.
Yeah.
What is on this lovely program then?
You deny the climate. You deny the Christ.
Exactly. UNESCO House, visit us. Should we go to UNESCO? Should we arrange a visit to a UNESCO house?
UNESCO House. Wow. I don't know. It reminds me
of coffee. Like, do you remember Maxwell House from the 80s?
I was going to say, is the UNESCO House like a Comet pizza?
No, it's more like a Starbucks, I should imagine.
What is the UNESCO House?
Discover UNESCO's headquarters, a treasure of modern architecture and the fruit of collaboration between several iconic architects of the 20th century, such as Bernard Zerfus, Marcel Breuer, and Pierre Luigi Nervi. All people you've never heard of.
What does this monstrosity look like? UNESCO House.
The trend with modern
architecture. Is this in the UK? UNESCO House. Where is it?
I should find out eventually.
Is it in Paris? But the problem with modern architecture is they take an old building and then they tack on a glass and steel edifice on it, and it looks like a tumour's growing off the original edifice.
King Charles, when he was like more interesting, used to say stuff about it. He hated modern architecture, didn't he?
Oh, you mean King Charles III?
Yeah.
I don't know much about King Charles II.
No, I just call him Prince Charles. Have we found the...
Oh, my God. That looks disgusting.
It is. I think I've found quite a big...
Is that it? That can't be it. Like, what? Why is this so...
It looks like a Soviet fucking flat. Soviet fucking rock box, doesn't it?
You've seen this of it. Like, fucking hell. Like, look at that. That's
That's fucking great architecture. What you're on about. Fucking love that. You bourgeoisie.
UNESCO, so it must be in Paris.
Yeah, so it took three people to design this place.
Well, they have one of them on each corner. There you go. There is the beautiful UNESCO house.
Is you be showing this to the audience? Oh, yes, you are. God.
Yeah, I am.
You know, when you see buildings like this, it does make me think.
This is why on the website you only ever see really close-up pictures.
Are you telling me that they're doing what fat women do on Tinder?
What's that? Yeah.
The flattering profile shot.
You just need a face pic, yeah. That's the beauty that is like three people. Did they just have one on each leg? Is that what they did?
You get A wing, I get B wing, you get C wing. Okay,
how C wing. Do you reckon I have suicide nets in there as well?
When a Foxconn moving in, you know,
Let me just remind you again, discover UNESCO headquarters, a treasure of modern architecture and the fruit of collaboration between several iconic architects. It's at Place de Fontenoy. You ever been there, Hobbit?
Paris. I go there all the time.
I don't know. You're a froggy. You're part froggy, aren't you? You've been over there, haven't you?
I found out there's a town near Southampton with a French name, Beaulieu. It's got the National Motor History Museum in Beaulieu.
It's Beaulieu.
But it's spelled Beaulieu.
But it's spelled, but it's pronounced Beaulieu.
Well, that's wrong, because that's clearly a French word.
Really nice place to go. Absolutely massive. There's not only like a massive motor museum. Right. There's also there's like an old house on there as well, and it's got a big got a monorail where you can travel around it and stuff. It's like a miniature Disneyland.
The more and more I see the architecture that we are able to produce these days, the more and more I think that like. In that picture, you see the house.
What the fuck is the concertina?
Built by the same people, right?
What the fuck is the concertina thing with the green roof? What is that? What, it looks like an air filter. And then the pits. What are the pits for? You got the six pits there, haven't you?
Those are definitely not human sacrifice pits, according to Snopes.
It's got windows in it. It's like, wait, hold on. Do you think those are the underground Tartarian? That's the actual buildings. Tartaria.
They're hiding Tartaria, is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like
imagine in the 60s, like... they'd have designed that so spaceships could fly out of it, like in the Thunderbirds. But now in the current year, you just think they're death bits.
They've got windows and shit. It's like, why?
has anyone counted the windows yet?
What is the purpose of the underground bit? Like, what? Why?
It's a giant harmonica and a big fidget spinner. Says interdimensional. There you go. For our listeners who can't see UNESCO House, and its beauty. It's just imagine a harmonica with a fidget spinner next to it. It's just. Oh, I mean, could you imagine like enjoying every day, going whistling as you go into work in there?
Show us the pinnacle of your civilization.
Yeah.
You point at it, like.
Yeah.
No wonder aliens haven't visited us.
Is it? Did they have that many architects?
Did they have
that many architects? They all kind of cancelled each other out, and that's how you end up with the. With the three,
oh,
the
yeah,
three-legged
the ego
prison
is
block.
Into, yeah, it's, yeah, that's it. Yeah, the ego is just like cancel each other out.
So you know, UNESCO's library and archives. Have you noticed all of these people have all these places have library and archives? Because I think the European headquarters.
What do they store in those archives? Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Well, UNESCO.
I don't know, man.
We should pick up again. Right, so we should be back. Excellent condition. We should be back. Oh, I'll put the. Oh, no, I shan't put those two up.
Hello, are we back?
Hello. Hello, hello. Yeah, OBS is crashing again. UNESCO. UNESCO are trying to stop us seeing the.
Fidget,
yeah. They've taken the fidget spinner off of OBS as well. So. They've mugged us. UNESCO Bookshop. At the UNESCO Book and Gift Shop, our World Heritage Coffee Table books, we invite you to travel when the UNESCO Courier will keep you informed about the international debates of our time.
Hold on, what are they actually advertising to travel? Like, we can't go and visit any of these UNESCO sites. They're all off limits, so...
Are they? No, some of them are like parks and that, aren't they?
Oh, well, okay, yeah, but the, some of them aren't, Grand Canyon. Yeah.
Oh, if you want to go to the UNESCO gift shop, from Monday to Friday, 9:30 to 1:15, and 2:15 p.m., 2:15 to 6 p.m, so only Monday and Friday. Otherwise, you won't be getting any UNESCO goodies. You won't be getting your UNESCO pen. UNESCO has three UNESCO has three catering areas. The restaurant, the bar du... That's 7e.m. etage. I can't remember French. What's 7 of it?
What, in French?
Yeah.
Set.
Bar du septième etage. I don't know, something like that. And the bar des conferences.
I'm sorry, I just keep thinking of Comet Pizza and how there's definitely not a basement there, it's just solid concrete.
Yeah.
There's no UNESCO gift shop there.
There's the... I'll put the thing in the back chat.
Sorry, not UNESCO, UNICEF. No, what UNESCO likes to do is they go to places like the Hypogeum and... They go to places like Hypogeum or Göbekli Tepe or other buried places, and then they pour in a bunch of concrete so that you can never explore the depths below.
Yeah, but there's nothing to see there anyway, Hobbit. They're just saving you the trouble.
Oh, well, yeah, exactly. There's nothing to see there, plus they've not got any lights there. Also, you're not allowed to do any recording whilst you're there, not even with the microphones. And you have to be quiet, and they frown at you for humming, even though you go, oh, yeah, that's really interesting acoustics. UNESCO World Heritage Site, fuck you.
So UNESCO in brief. So here's UNESCO in brief. So Since wars begin in the minds of men and women, it is in the minds of men and women that all the defences of peace must be constructed. What do we think to that, Comfort? That's that then.
I don't even understand what that means, and it's not just because I'm completely shagged out from today.
UNESCO is the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization. It contributes to peace and security by promoting international cooperation in education, sciences, culture, communication and information.
Minus a few
Ah, Fraser, you may say that, but this next sentence will clear all that up. UNESCO promotes the knowledge sharing and free flow of ideas to accelerate mutual understanding and a more perfect knowledge of each other's lives. What is this?
Oh, crap! What does that even... Word salad! What does that even mean? Like, what? You want to know how fucking abrasion spins?
How long has it been like that?
A couple of minutes, I think. Or a minute or two, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
OBS and Windows are some of the worst pieces of software ever made. Agree.
Windows 11, he says.
Oh, OBS and Windows 11. No, this is Windows 10.
Yeah. Well, OBS.
Hello.
You know.
We are back. We are back.
The Stunning and Braves.
So anyway, as we were, I don't know what we were.
We were on Snopes. With 2013.
So the reason we were talking about Snopes was, just in case it wasn't caught, is UNESCO's programs contribute to the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals defined in the 2030 Agenda, which we all know is a conspiracy theory, because we've all been told that it's a conspiracy theory. Because definitely.
So.
Hobbit. You have the floor.
Yes.
You have... The floor is now yours.
Well, according to Snopes, the conspiracy theory, climate change denial, the claim, UN Agenda 21, also known as UN Agenda 2030, titled New World Order, is an official document produced by the United Nations listing goals for the year 2030, including items... End of the family unit and government raised children. Rating false.
Oh, 2030 doesn't. Agenda 2030 doesn't exist.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are UNESCO talking about something that doesn't exist?
Well, so, aren't they going to say, it's not that. It's not. It's just some.
Yeah.
Yeah, plant pots or something.
No, it's actually benevolent, is what they're going to say.
Yeah.
Snopes has listed all the things that are false about it. New World Order, UN Agenda, Mission Goals, One World Government, Cashless Currency, One World Central Bank.
So the UN's 2030 Agenda isn't the UN's 2030 Agenda?
Yes. One World Military. The end of national sovereignty, the end of all privately owned property, the end of the family unit... Depopulation, control of population growth and population density, mandatory multiple V.
What?
You can infer what V is, I assume.
What's
universal.
That?
Mandatory multiple safe and effectives.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Yes.
Universal basic income.
As it should be.
Brackets austerity, microchip society for tracking, controlling, purchasing, and travel.
Yeah.
Implementation of a social world credit system like China has. Trillions of appliances hooked into the 5G monitor system, Internet of Things.
Hello, Alexa.
Government raised children. Government owned and controlled schools, colleges, and universities.
But don't they already do that anyway? What are you on about with government owned controlled schools? They've done that since the 80s, 90s. Fucking.
That is a conspiracy theory. And
what are you on about?
Well, Snopes is listing a list of things which are a conspiracy theory about this UN Agenda 2030. So you're just believing.
Are you trying to tell me that they're trying to say that the government doesn't run the education system of their countries?
there is no such thing as the national curriculum. The end of private transportation, owning cars, etc. All businesses owned by government corporations. The restriction of non-essential air travel.
Wait, that sounds like fascism.
Human beings concentrated into human settlement zones or 15-minute cities. Oh, the end of immigration. Nice. The end of private farms and grazing livestock. The end of... Oh, by the way...
Well, that's happening in Dutch land right now, isn't it?
The Republic of Ireland, also known as Stupid Potato People Land, have decided
hey,
to...
Hey, that's my ancestors.
Yes, they are stupid. It's 220... Oh, sorry, I have an alarm going off. They're going to cull 250,000 cows because my climate... end of immigration, yeah. End of single family homes, restricted land use that serves human needs.
End of single family homes?
Yeah, no more single family homes. You're going to have to like share your home with somebody else.
Because not everything's being turned into flats. Like all big houses aren't being turned into like HMOs now, are they?
Oh, are they? I didn't know this.
Anyway,
a lot of like, you know, like the big old three-story Victorian buildings. A lot of them get turned into HMOs.
Victorian ones. Yeah, I get you. Yeah. I thought you meant the new builds. I was like, geez, that's dire.
Oh, well, the new builds are so fucking small, they might as well be. let's go back to this. Since the wars begin Hobbit. Put yourself in the mind of, like, you want to control the world, yeah? So since wars begin in the minds of women and men, it is in the minds of women and men that the defences of peace
only
must be
women
constructed.
And men? What about two-spirited people?
Till and Mulvaney? I don't know, because UNESCO...
What if you're non-binary?
UNESCO are bigoted.
What if you don't identify? Does that mean... Yeah.
Racist, bigoted, homophobes. Okay. So this is how you get into the mind of UNESCO. This is what is thing. So because war comes from the minds of women and men, I've just realised it's women and men, not men and women.
Yeah,
I
can't have men and women. That's sexist. Yeah, you've got to have the woman first, right?
So it's women. You know? So women cause wars mainly.
Yeah,
and then men are there as well. I think this is what UNESCO are trying to say. The problem is
cutting it a bit closer, aren't they?
The problem is women think, and then because they think, they cause wars. So if we could stop women thinking, then that's basically what UNESCO want to do. They want to genocide women, stop women thinking. Because the following thing is, these opening lines of UNESCO's constitution bear witness to our effort to understand and respond to the very origin of conflict. So if you're not going for mind control...
Well, then that explains it. Yeah, that explains everything. I mean, just make everyone non-binary and there'll be no more wars, right, guys?
Yeah. Because women cause it.
That's the logic here.
Because women cause it and men go along.
Right?
Well, women cause it and men go along, according to UNESCO.
Well, I mean, you know, Helen of Troy. what other examples we want to list?
Queen
Elizabeth.
Wallace Simpson. So, you know, literally, so if people can't think, then they can't war. Peaceful society.
Yeah, and if, you know, if there are no men and women, there's no war as well, right? So
this is the weird part that they keep hammering down on. UNESCO was created in the aftermath of two world wars in response to one of the most radical attacks against the dignity of human beings, when violent, racist and anti-Semitic doctrines were taught in schools, legitimised by pseudoscience. Actually, weren't UNESCO accused by Israel of being literally anti-Semitic? Listen to the last episode for that one. Doctrines were taught in schools, legitimised by pseudoscience and fuelled by systematic propaganda using the modern tools of culture, communication and information. So UNESCO was born from a simple but firm conviction that lasting peace must be built on more than the political and economic ties between states alone. That reconciliation and development demand stronger foundations deeply rooted in mutual understanding, in the respect for the equal dignity of all human beings and the intellectual and moral solidarity of humanity.
I think I just threw up a little bit. What does that mean?
So what are the key challenges UNESCO face? UNESCO seeks to harness the full power of education, science, culture and information to tackle the most...
Is UNESCO pro or against eugenics?
As long as it's not racist, Albert.
Yeah, as long as it's not racist.
Anti-Semitic. Yeah, alright.
Well, like, you know, Julian and Adonis Huxley, UNESCO, eugenics, I'm sure I'm making some sort of point here.
I should imagine they're probably more into eugenics.
They're not into eugenics because, I mean, that was, you know, that was racist, right?
That was racism.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it eugenics?
That was pseudoscience, right? Eugenics is pseudoscience. Yeah. Do you not know that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you breed
a horse that can jump high, you won't get a horse that jumps high.
That's true. Also, I've learned that. If a mouse is born in the stables, then it is a horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just as much a horse as you or I.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyway, UNESCO seeks to harness the full power of education, science, culture and information to tackle the most pressing issues we face. By sharing our common humanity with increased knowledge and moral solidarity, we can find solutions to the pressing issues of our time. Dive into UNESCO's responses to these issues and learn more about the difference we make on the ground. Blimey. Right, so Heritage and Armed Conflicts, Convention 1954. What's this? Culture, being on the front lines of conflicts, is too often a victim of the hostilities. Destruction of heritage fuels violence, hatred and vengeance among people and weakens the very foundation. This is literally word salad, isn't it? So,
really?
What
flavour?
For this very reason, protecting culture and combating the crimes against it have been at the core of UNESCO's mission since its foundation. In this spirit, and on the promise of preservation of heritage for future generations, the Convention for the Protection of Cultural Property in the Event of Armed Conflict and its two protocols, wow, that just drips off the tongue, doesn't it? have been adopted under the auspices of UNESCO, paving the way for the birth of numerous international instruments in the field of culture. The 1954 Hague... Fucking hell. There is literally one event that is completely 100% all of the time in UNESCO's mind, isn't there? The 1954 Hague Convention is a fundamental international instrument for the... For conflict prevention, post-conflict recovery, and building the defences of peace. Have a guess what the first one is. Damaged cultural sites.
America World Police, but UNESCO edition.
UNESCO World Police.
Yeah.
damaged cultural sites. There's an online course for the military police and law. So, key numbers, 193 member states... 133, 1954 convention. 110, 1954 first protocol. I don't know what this means. What's this mean? Let's see. Oh, doesn't link to anything. So these numbers don't... And they don't explain what the numbers are. Wow, there's some key numbers.
What do the numbers mean, Mason? What do the numbers mean?
What? right, so what else we got? Fight illicit trafficking. Futures literacy. This doesn't sound ominous at all, does it?
By trafficking, Azerbaijan has one of the highest like trafficking rates.
futures literacy. Futures literacy is a capability. It is the skill that allows people to better understand the role the future plays in what they see and do. People can become more skilled at using the future, more futures literate because of two facts. I think Time Cop was also a big influence on them. One is that the future does not exist, it can only be imagined. Two is that humans have the ability to imagine. As a result, humans are able to learn to imagine the future for different reasons and in different ways. Therefore, thereby becoming more futures literate. Oh, dear me. What is this? What?
And it's only trying to stop like people thinking of different futures or not. Like it's that yeah. it kind of sounds contradictory here, right? That you know the. Trying yeah. to prevent wars and shit, but surely people are predicting.
But then they'll go to war. They'll go yeah. to war. Was it? What's that film? Tom Cruise.
Okay. I'll have to ask either you or the chat. But does this sound like schizophrenic ramblings?
If that... anyone ever like reads this, it's just like out there as a kind of you know. Oh, if someone runs across it, they'll read it, give up, and then go yeah. away, kind of thing. You know, because it's just. Word salad.
Do you want to learn how they're going to prevent like, no violent meaning. Extremism?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Violent extremism is a threat to peace and tolerance. It's not enough to counter it. We must prevent it. Future crime.
Pre-crime. Tom Cruise, is that you?
Because no one is born a violent extremist, nobody cared who I was until I became a violent extremist. But they are.
Here we are. Well, yeah. Everyone's tabula rasa, therefore, you know, yeah. you can't have psychopaths and.
Yeah.
You know, in anything genetic, it can't be. It's got to be, you know, learned, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But they are made and fueled. Disarming the process of radicalization must begin with dialogue and respect to human rights and the rule of law. What it's like? Not really. You've got to treat them. You don't get people to become decent people by you must. Protect the law. By giving them the four directives that RoboCop had. Do you? Secret fifth directive. You can't act against the UNESCO employee. But the thing is, you can't do it. Like, you've got to respect human rights and the rule of law. It's not how you get people to become decent people, is it?
Yeah. Some fucking African warlords. Why do I have to do that? I have guns. But why do I have to do
I that? Have gun. He has what I want. Why are you crushing me? Education is a powerful tool.
You in gear?
Yeah. Education is a powerful tool to build learners' resilience to violent extremism and mitigate the drivers of this phenomenon.
Like that, but in the past 20 years in Afghanistan, they were like, okay, women, we're going to teach you slam poetry and how to look really frumpy. And then the Taliban was like, no, you're not. Put an end to this.
It helps strengthen their commitment to non-violence and peace, in particular addressing hateful and violent narratives. This crucial work starts as early as possible on the benches of schools. Dear, this is so fucking creepy. What's the world got against just teaching kids what fucking two and two is and their ABCs? Like, why are we not allowed to do that in school anymore?
Because that would be a problem, because then you'd find out that the world is racist.
Like why?
And homophobic.
Yeah, like, there's a danger. And, there's a danger, you know, they might be racist if they learn how to add up. UNESCO's collective actions through education, science, culture, communication and information allow prevention efforts to strengthen resilience factors, such as... What's a resilience factor? What was it when you can hold two ideas in your head at the same time? I'm blanking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's...
Think.
Isaac Newton, isn't it? Is it Isaac Newton?
The term you're thinking of is called doublethink, and it was expounded by George Orwell in 1984.
This is the idea that you can have
two contradictory views at the same time.
Yeah. Mm. No, brain's not working. I can't think of the term I wanted to use. I bet the chat got it. No, they're not. They're okay for you. They're okay for eugenics as long as it's not racist. Okay, as long as they do work. Cognitive dissonance. Thank you, internet.
That's it.
Interdimensionalism. That's my brain. That's it. Yeah, it's just like it's the only way. Resilience factors. It just sounds like newspeak, doesn't it? Like, have you got? You need to be.
How is your resilience factors. Today to the outside? It's like wearing a fucking acid. Well, not. Chemical hazard suit, innit? Yeah. Oh, I better not be leaking today, you know. Got to pump up the resilience, got to, you know,
I just imagine a lot of this
scary world out there.
I just imagine UNESCO's future just holds in it a lot of SSRIs, and I mean a lot of fucking SSRIs at the start, in the middle, and at the end of the day.
Oh, world is big and scary outside. Cotton wool, like, you know.
Just the more it. The more I read it, the more I think of, like, equilibrium. You know, where people have got to look at art and have no, like, emotion whatsoever.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, art doesn't, you know, art these days doesn't inspire, does it? It's just fucking food items stuck on a wall, right?
Yeah, this is beautiful. It's like, this is beautiful. Like, they get it hammered into their heads that this piece of art is beautiful. Tracy Emin's work is beautiful. Strength and resilience factors at the individual, community, and societal levels. Through its work, it equips learners of all ages and backgrounds with the knowledge, values, and attitudes and behaviours they need to take action against violent extremism. Did you know 12th of February is the International Day for the Prevention of Violent Extremism?
Lizard's figured out what the word you were looking for. It's called cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
Yes, Robert.
I said that about a minute ago.
The weird thing is, I was actually listening to you, but I don't really hear. Oh, weird. Okay.
So I'll flick through preventing violence. Do you want to learn what they say about open data? Yeah. It's like open data. You know instantly that open data is maybe not so open data, don't you? Data plays an important role in disaster management, weather forecasting, government policy decisions, and to achieve sustainable development goals. Have you noticed the buzzwords? It's sustainable development keeps cropping up and up and up all the time, doesn't it? Advances in digital technology and observation instruments have led to exponential growth of data. Data produced is diverse in terms of formats, sequences, tool dependencies, and it complicates its management. You know, data's hard.
Oh no, someone's using a Mac. God, heresy.
Yeah. Oh no, data's hard. UNESCO promotes...
Who wrote this?
UNESCO promotes the effective...
It's UN resolution. Kind of... Someone's using a Macintosh.
It's all Big Brother. It's all Big Brother. It's like, you don't need to think, little plebeian. You don't need to think. We'll do thinking. We'll think for you. Where did that come from?
I found a soundboard.
Oh God.
This is very funny.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's literally UNESCO. UNESCO, yeah, the sound effect. So UNESCO have developed FAIR principles. Findability. Is that even a word? Are we having findability as a word?
Search, yeah, the dead internet theory. That's search.
Findability, accessibility, interoperability. These are fucking made it. Like, nah, Jesus Christ, they've had to butcher this shit to make it become fair, haven't they? And reusability. Moreover, they're talking about data. Moreover, UNESCO, I assume that they're talking about, we'll find it, collate it, and we'll make it reusable for you, because these are the... You can't have table 42 from the FBI crime statistics. Moreover, UNESCO advocates for the openness of research data and government data. It must be open, publicly available for anyone to access, use and share it. Well, to be fair, that's all right if it was actually true.
If it was true. We can test this, you know.
Remember, freedom is slavery, etc., etc. So you wouldn't be allowed, like, complete data, would you?
No,
like full raw crime statistic data. You wouldn't be allowed that, would you?
I, for one, welcome our UNESCO overlords.
UNESCO is also a founding member of the Open for Good Alliance, which is an initiative to leverage synergies with international, regional and national organisations that are working to stimulate the use of localised data in artificial intelligence systems to address local problems. This is all... Why can't I be a woman, Stan? It just... It just reminds me of that. Where's the fetus going to gestate? In a box, UNESCO.
Oh, God. Are UNESCO getting in on the ChatGPT action then?
Of course they are. You can't have ChatGPT. imagine fucking current year and they're still banging on about the beer bug. What's this? The COVID-19 outbreak has been a global challenge that has taught us that cooperation is key when dealing with a global public health issue. It has reminded us of the need to ensure the continuity of education, the importance of reliable and quality information, as well as the importance of reliable and quality information. Well, we're only just getting that now, 2 years after. As well as taught us the power of culture and knowledge to strengthen the human fabric and solidarity at a time when so many people around the world have had to keep their social distance and stay at home. It's just buzzword city, isn't it?
Yeah.
What else have we got?
I want to take you down to UNESCO Buzzword Avenue. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, how about
this sustainability will go higher.
Do you want to talk about the World Water Assessment Programme? How much water have you got? Like UNESCO with clipboard, how much water have you got?
And why aren't you taxing it?
Yeah. UNESCO established...
UNESCO. Oh, Nicaragua's water's got privatised by Coca-Cola. That's a good idea. Let's do that to the rest of the world.
UNESCO established the World Water Assessment Programme, WWAP, in 2000, in response to a call from the UN Commission on Sustainable Development.
Chat says the website feels like it's been written by ChatGPT.
Yeah, ChatGPT. They wish, like, whoever wrote this is is more soulless than ChatGPT. To produce a UN system-wide periodic global overview of the state. Oh, fucking hell. What are you doing?
We're going to measure how much water you use every year.
The overall objective is to meet the growing requirements of UN member states and the international community for a wider range of policy-relevant, timely and reliable information in various fields of water... What are you doing, though? Are you just like... They won't tell us what they're doing. They just won't tell us what they're doing. Biodiversity. Small island developing states. Climate change. Oh, look. Let's go for the climate change, shall we?
Yeah.
Climate change is one of
Climate health emergency crisis Ebola zone.
Yeah. Climate change is one of the defining issues of our time. Over 30 UNESCO programmes in the sciences, education, culture, communication contribute to creating knowledge, educating and communicating about climate change and to understanding the ethical implications for present and future generations.
You know, the UN has they call it the IPCC, Independent Panel on Climate Change. Yeah. Well... the IPCC is like Congo calling itself the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Mm. Or the Central African Republic, which isn't in fact a republic.
Yes.
Let's skip to the climate change and world... Oh, no. Climate change and world heritage. I want to find out about the world heritage sites.
Well, that's what... Yeah, originally we were...
Yeah, this is where we were heading to, weren't it? But this...
So, all these heritage sites.
Well, let's start streaming. Right, we're back again. Fuck's sake.
Okay. Let's go shutting it down.
Oh, there's six new sites on the world heritage list.
Six? Wow. What are they?
Area
51. The World Heritage Committee
this morning inscribed properties in the Russian Federation, Costa Rica, Vietnam, India, Philippines and Denmark.
So if they weren't already heritage sites, why now?
Oh no. While I eat my dinner, do you reckon one of you two could talk about UNEC heritage sites?
Yeah, Hobbit.
Hobbit.
While I eat my dinner as well.
UNEC to make my dinner a World Heritage Site.
It's World Heritage Dinner Time, that's where we're all participating in it.
World Heritage Dinner Time.
There's got to be somewhere. Like, can you believe they don't list the World Heritage Sites on their own?
Yeah, why would you want to know a list of places the UN keeps? Well, Alphabet Cat, that's a good question. How many UNESCO sites are in Belgium? You tell me.
There are quite a few, actually.
I think it's time we put our audience to the test here. Come on, guys. This is a spectator sport. You can actually contribute with this because...
Everyone's eating their dinner.
Yes, because everyone's eating their dinner. I do apologise.
Why can't they just tell us what are... They tell you a few, but I didn't give you a full list.
Why would you want a list of UN World Heritage sites? Oh, UNESCO.
Mm.
Oh, lists of World Heritage Sites. There's a Wikipedia article.
Oh, yeah, found it.
Africa.
They're splitting up by region.
So let me see. You've got a place in Mauritius, which is a... after the British abolished slavery in Mauritius... Oh, that's racist. Telling black people they can't be entrepreneurs. So they made a port, and that's a UNESCO site. Abu Mena in Egypt, is that a church? Abu Mena, it's got a Maltese cross on it. The ruins of the former Christian holy city contain a church, baptistry, basilicas, public buildings, streets, monastery. So what happened to the Menas of Alexandria. The World Heritage Committee designated Abu Mena as an endangered site in 2001 due to its cavings in the air caused by the clay at the surface, which becomes semi-liquid when met with excess water. Air and Tineri Natural Reserves is in Niger, and it's just a desert. Africa's largest protected area, located in the Saharan Desert of Tenere, consists of the volcanic rock mass of Ea and a small isolated Sahelian pocket, no idea what that is, with unique flora and fauna. Axum, I know Axum, that's that looks like an ancient Egyptian site. It's not. I was wrong. The ruins of the city of Axum, dating from the 1st to the 13th century Anno Domini. There's an atoll of the Seychelles that's protected. Amphitheatre of El Djem. So, in other words, that's a Roman amphitheatre. It's in Tunisia. That would have been...
A lot of these sites are Roman, aren't they?
That would have been Lepsis Magna, because Cyrene was... to the east. I think that's Algeria now. No, that would have been Libya? I don't know.
Found the British. Do you want to do the British one?
Oh, Carthage is a UNESCO heritage site, yep. So is Cyrene. Leptis Magna. Sabratha, yep. Oh, I know all this stuff from Rome Total War. The Isle of Meroe in Sudan.
Ooh.
Asmara, a modernist African city.
That sounds
the cool. Capital ever trade event from the 1890s onwards. Okay. So it's like
they don't run these things then, do they?
Well, like, there's some places which have got a sign on them, and they're saying like, "Oh, you can't enter because it's ours."
Mm. Mm. Well, you got the giant's causeway. You can walk all over that, can't you?
Yeah, but there's some places like they lock it down, like the Hypogeum.
Mm.
And you can only get in via appointment.
Ah, yes, the good old. Yes, you can go there, but you need to be on a guided tour, right?
Didn't we say Antarctica? Is an Antarctica UNESCO heritage site?
Oh no, it's anybody can visit Antarctica except you can't. you can visit Antarctica on this flight, which like goes like near one of the peninsulas, and then that's it. Doesn't go anywhere over it. Did you know there's a Fort Jesus in Mombasa, which is part of Kenya?
I was reading a lot of ARC stuff, and you'll probably find a lot of that stuff around Ethiopia.
Hmm. What's the Kozet El? Oh,
what
yeah.
The fuck?
That's
Did
the
you
one
know the Tower of London is in the borough of Tower Hamlets?
I didn't know.
I had no idea.
This apparently counts as Africa, right? French Austral Lands and Seas, and all it just says is 75 French Austral Lands and Seas UNESCO. So it's like, yeah, this island here, which is sort of halfway between Antarctica and Madagascar, that's UNESCO now. You can't go there. Le Crozet Islands is a subantarctic archipelago of small islands, southern Indian Ocean. Yeah, but that's the UNESCO site.
Very interesting. So yeah, so I think the natural ones are the interesting ones here.
That's an interesting place worth visiting. The Inaccessible Islands.
Are they accessible?
That's St. Helena, which is part of the United Kingdom.
Are they accessible?
The site represents one of the least disrupted islands and marine ecosystems in the South Temperate Zone.
Be right back.
They're so free of introduced mammals and feature one of the world's largest colony of seabirds. I'm guessing the Inaccessible Islands have cliffs all around and there's not really any beaches.
Yeah.
What does it say? Come on, tell me what. There are two explanations for the name Inaccessible Island. One is that on the maps, newly found islands referred to as inaccessible because the Dutch crew landed were not able to reach its interior. The other claims that French captain De Etchevelly renamed the island in 1778 after not being able to land. Except then in 1803. What?
Does Myanmar still exist? I didn't think that existed anymore.
Weimar?
Myanmar.
You mean Burma?
Oh, is that Burma, is it?
Yeah. I'm not calling it Beijing, it's Peking.
Yeah, I thought this is a new place that I've never heard of before. There's a couple of sites in there. You had a look at Malta, Hobbit, because you like going to Malta, don't you?
Yeah, I like Malta. Yeah, they got a number of... I'm still looking at all the African ones, and... Did you know the island of Mozambique is a UNESCO World Heritage Site?
Why?
because UNESCO says, hey, that's a nice island you got there. Would be a shame if it was to be unprotected.
Okay.
Yeah.
So have you been to the megalithic temples of Malta?
I've been to Gigantea, yeah.
No, that's not on here. It's...
It is. It's in the other island, Gozo.
This is Exagra, Quendi, Magar, and Tarxian.
You pronounce Maltese as well as I do.
Yeah, I'm good at this, aren't I? So the site contains 7 prehistoric temples at 6 sites. Originally, the site listed only the 2 Giganta temples and was extended in 1992. that were constructed during the 4th and 3rd millennium BC. These temples are among the oldest stone freestanding structures in the world and likely had important ritual significance for a highly organized society. Although each temple is different in architectural design, it's funny how they say highly organized society. That they didn't.
They're made by giants. That's what they're called, Gigantea. I mean, one of the taxi drivers took me there. He says, "What do you think it means?" And I said, "Well, Gigantea sounds like gigantic." He says, "Yep, that's right. Giants built it." And not a trace of irony when he said that.
Although each temple is different in architectural design, they usually contain an elliptical forecourt in front of a concave facade. The surviving horizontal masonry courses indicate the monuments had corbelled roofs. Do you know what they are?
I can't remember what a corbelled roof is, sorry.
A corbelled arch is an arch-like construction method that uses the architectural technique of corbelling. Thanks. Great.
The technique of corbelling, that clarifies matters.
Yeah. So a corbel arch, you know, it's an arch, but you do, you know, when you corbel it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Corbeling it. Yeah. Well, I'm glad we, you know, everybody in the audience. But let's say I'm Mr.
It looks Roman, basically. Is that what?
Let's say I'm Mr. Ficky Durbrain in the audience, and I don't know what corbelling is.
Right. So corbelling to span a space or void in a structure, such as an entranceway or wall, or as the span of a bridge. A corbel vault uses this technique to support the superstructure of the build. No, don't know.
So why not call it a roof that spans the walls? Or also known as a roof?
So
there is an interesting...
So corbelling, the best I can describe it, you know when people make an arch by just kind of... the arch holds its own weight because the bricks are put in a particular way.
Yeah, because arches do that.
Mm. Yeah. A corbel arch is constructed by offsetting successive horizontal courses of stone, beginning at the spring line of the walls, the point at which the walls break off from vertical. Right, so you basically do a wall straight up, but then as it goes up, it comes in.
All right.
A course of bricks. So you'd like to bring it in a cut half a brick?
Fascinating, I'm sure.
Do you get it, Albert?
Yes, I do. I mean, I'm still looking at the list of African sites. You know, I'm sure we talked about the Church of Lalibela before. So imagine, right, you got this bedrock. And you, rather than build a church on top of it, you carved out the bedrock, and you carve a church out of it. And it doesn't look like any church I recognise. I mean, it has got a cruciform shape. But the legends say that during the day, men would work on it. And during the night, angels could be seen as glowing lights, and they'd work on it.
Hmm.
So the idea being that... it was the angels which were carving out this church from the rock.
So in North America, we have Mesa Verde National Park, Yellowstone National Park, Grand Canyon
National Park in Yellowstone. So that way, when the UNESCO atomic bomb goes into it, nobody can say, hey, UNESCO, what are you doing?
So they can nick the kids from there, can't they? Like missing 4-1... missing 411, quite a few go missing from the national park.
Oh, true, yeah. But that's to keep the volcano demon happy.
Yeah. Grand Canyon National Park, which we talked about a few episodes ago.
There's no reason to go there.
Smithsonian didn't lose seven truckloads of gear, did they?
Nobody needs to explore the Grand Canyon. And those hieroglyphs are just... No, that's just like natural wind erosion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find it interesting that, like, the ones in the UK are, like, basically... there's Jurassic Coast. And we know why that's there. That certain lady found the first dinosaur bone there, right? All that, you know... 100 years ago or so.
Yeah, it's funny how you used to find the odd
200 years.
I used to find the odd dinosaur bone, but now you find fucking full skeletons.
Amazing.
Literally, like, you've got like genuses and all the like subgroups of that thing now. The largest ever one was found in Rutland, wasn't it? That was the largest one in England, weren't it, I think?
So, here's the thing. Here's what's interesting, right? One of these sites is the Neanderthal Cave. Basically where, like, one of the first earliest, like, Neanderthal items are found. Now, what do you think if that is not a cover-up? That is not, you know, like the Jurassic Coast. Oh, look, here's where we found this.
Yeah.
Therefore, it validates evolution.
Also Chaco culture. Do you remember Chaco Canyon where we talked about the Puebloans? The man went through time, didn't he? He went through the portal.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
On his donkey. No. No, he didn't go on his donkey, did he?
Oh, is that the guy with the, you know, threatened by some Indians, he's going to get his tongue cut out or something?
That's it, yeah, that's one.
That dude.
I think they did cut... No, they cut his tongue out, didn't they? Threatened to murder his wife.
He laid down in the fucking rapid.
Oh, look, and completely... Frank Lloyd Wright. I bet, are you a fan of Frank Lloyd Wright's architecture?
Oh, boy, am I ever. And I especially like looking at his face... when I'm bored of looking at, what's his name? Jean-Jacques Rousseau.
Go on then, tell us why you don't like... Tell us... Oh, God. Tell us why you don't like Frank Lloyd Wright, then, I bet.
Just... Hang on. Is he the architect?
Yeah, organic architecture he does.
Yeah, that's why.
That's why. His style was marked by the novel use of materials such as steel and not concrete. That's quite novel, isn't it, in house building? I mean, have you ever known a house that has steel and concrete in it, Albert?
Oh, well,
Oh, God, did you know he designed the Guggenheim, which looks like a cereal bowl?
Oh, good. Yeah. Such a great art. Like, what a visionary, you know. I'm sure glad this building looks like a giant toilet bowl.
Yeah. What's it, the Brooklyn Bridge?
Yeah.
Ellis Island, because it was such an important, you know, literally all America, the sum total of their achievements is having people enter their country. Like, that's literally how good your country is. Central Park. Central Park's supposed to be absolutely massive, isn't it? Good for you, lake. Good for you, acres.
Is any of the World Fair places? Because you would have thought, like, the World's Fairs, right?
Yeah.
They'd be heritage, right? Cultural, right?
The Mariana Trench is.
No, they're just paper mache. Nobody wants
it's
to.
Yeah, weird, you know. That. Yeah, they. Weird that they're not on there.
The Marianas Trenches. I don't know if UNESCO have an office down there, but
there's definitely not a basement for Comet Pizza down in the Mariana Trench. Yeah.
Big Bend National Park, was it Big Bend with the mission? No, that was Grand Canyon again, weren't it? The dude that went for his ill-fated mission with his family. There's a lot of these are planned cities. Have you noticed that as well, Hobbit? When you've been looking through these,
I got like bored looking at the African ones because it was just like.
Oh, the I looked at the European ones. So in America, there's the settlements of the Moravian Church, a Protestant denomination from the second half of the 18th century. They're planned cities reflecting on the egalitarian philosophy of the community. They share similar urban layouts, including open and green spaces, congregational building, and cemetery. Like, why are they looking at this stuff when they want you in fucking high rise battery? They want you to be battery humans, basically.
Ah, no, Snopes says that's a conspiracy theory.
Oh, yeah, that's
false.
Anti-Semitic canard.
Yeah. Okay, that's... So, speaking of planned cities, I'm looking at the totally real country of Uzbekistan, which anybody can visit. So, they have this thing called Itchan Kala. And... it kind of looks like a... mosque, but it's not a mosque. I'm gonna post the thingy into the thing so you can see what is I is looking at there.
So given what they want to do with us, do you think UNESCO's there for keeping the bits they want to keep, you know, so the rich can go to them on holiday and stuff like that? Or, you know, like,
well, I assume things like the Serengeti is where they'll like ship in like child human slaves and then hunt them.
Fucking hell, grim.
Well,
I think if we're honest, UNESCO want us to go to more. What was? We're going to abandon this one for this week. Yeah. Night Owl.
No way.